Support for Gig with Mike Redman comes from Music Connection, for 45 years connecting artists and musicians with each other and the industry. And you can find them on the web at musicconnection.com. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Gig. I'm your host, Mike Redman. I grew up in the days of rock bands ruling the world, and I lived in the South in Richmond, Virginia. One of my favorite Southern rock bands was 38 Special. Still to this day, they're one of the hardest working rock bands in the country. They play about 100 dates a year, and the drummer in the band is powerhouse Gary Moffett, and I'm happy to say a longtime friend of mine. When Gary plays, you can tell he puts every fiber of his body into it. Today, I'm happy to have him on Gig to share his thoughts about drumming, touring, soloing, and his family, 38 Special. So as usual, let's just jump right in. Hey Gary, how you doing today?
Good, Mike, how are you?
Oh, I'm awesome, man. I'm so glad that I got a chance in your schedule to, you know, to fit me in, you know, even though we're old bros.
We've known each other a long time.
We have known each other a long time.
You know, it's been a while since I've seen you.
I'm looking better though, right?
Oh yeah, you are.
Yeah,
hotter than ever.
You know, you just made me think of something. I'll go off script here already. The first time I ever saw you, you were playing drums with some big, kind of like a big band, in Fashion Square Mall.
Nick Russo and Gabriel's Brass.
There you go, buddy. That was the first time I saw you, and I thought, God, this guy's amazing, man. And it was you. You were just so good, and you had so much energy back then. I'm sure probably about the same as you do now, though, I think. So look, we're just going to jump right in. You've been playing for this iconic Southern rock band, 38 Special, for over 20 years.
27.
Woo!
I'm starting my 28th year this year.
Wow. Gary, would you tell me the story of how you landed the 38 Special gig?
Like I said, it's just been, it was just kind of being in the right place at the right time. And I knew a couple people in the 38 camp. I knew the keyboard player, Bobby Capps. I knew their sound man at the time, who had been in a band with me in previous years. Mm-hmm. A couple of the crew guys that I'd been in bands with, you know. So it was kind of like when their drummer left, Scott Hoffman, he wanted to get off the road and had a little kid and every little baby. And he was in a band 5 years prior to me, another Florida boy from Orlando. Mm-hmm. And a great drummer. And really nice guy. But when he left, he also recommended me. So I had like four or five people in the 38 camp. And I just went up there, and Don says, we'll give you a little chance, you know, play for 2 weeks and see how it works out, or a couple months, whatever, see how it works out. And here I am 28 years later, you know.
Wow.
I got lucky, man, because this has been my forever home, you know.
That's awesome. You know, it's great. You know, it's funny that you say that, because my ex-father-in-law, bless his soul, he used to have a saying that's, that if you work hard enough, you get lucky.
Exactly. You got to persevere, and you got to be professional. You got to be on time. You got to be prepared, and you got to be dependable.
Mm-hmm.
All the above. You have to. And most musicians are flakes, you know. So,
That's funny. So I was going to tell you another thing. There was a time in my life when I was playing clubs a lot, and one of the highlights for me is when you would show up every once in a while and sit in with us.
I remember that band. That was a good band.
Headlines, yeah. Yep. And I had a piece I'd written. It was more of a break song called Join the Band.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you used to come in and play that, and it was like, holy crap, man, I just love that. And you would solo, and I would solo, and it was like magic when you were, you know, in playing with us. My question is this. So you're really busy. You guys play over 100 dates a year.
But we did 92 last year.
Okay. We'll take it back. I'll take that back. No, okay. But do you still practice?
Hell no. Oh, you mean the band or me?
You. Well, both. How about that?
No, I'll give you two for instances. For me, no, I haven't practiced in 50 years, probably. but I would shed my ass off when I was younger.
Right.
And in the band, the only time we get together and rehearse is if it's been a couple of months, we haven't played together in a while. Mm-hmm. And of course, if we're going to interject new material in and move the set, you know, change, alter the set around, those are the only times we actually get together. You know, mm-hmm. we'll rehearse in a rehearsal hall. And that's just about it. You know, most of the time we probably don't change it up, but every 4 or 5 years, you know. Mm-hmm.
So. Okay, that was actually one of the questions I had for a little later. But so you guys are pretty locked into the set that you do?
Yeah, I mean, we've done so many different versions of the same song, you know, trying to move them around, shuffle around, mm-hmm. try to give the audiences that come out and see us on numerous occasions through the years, trying mm-hmm. to, you know, just to, so it's not the same old, same old. And then we've interjected some of the newer songs we've had in the past, you know, that were released on CDs that were recorded, but mm-hmm. we never really got any airplay or anything like that. And so it's kind of like a catch-22. You want to play new stuff that nobody's ever heard.
Yeah, it's tough.
And it's good shit, you know, it's good material, mm-hmm. but of course I think it's good, but
unbiased.
But people just want to hear the old, you know, the stuff that meant something to them when they were growing up, you know, the big hits they were on the radio and, you know, they are great songs, man. It's an arsenal, a big library of big hits, man. It's, you know, I'm proud to be doing them, even though they had that legacy before I got in the band, you know, It's great to know that you have those songs behind you when you're playing them. It's like, yeah, this is good stuff. It's right in your face. Take this, you know, take this.
Well, your persona on stage is more like, don't F with me. You know, but I know you as a funny, kind, serious about your craft, good friend kind of guy. Is that look because it's your brand? Or is it because you're really concentrating?
Well, I don't do it on purpose. I try to be as beautiful as I can be, you know, bring sexy back to drum, you know. But I'm all about work up there. I'm, you know, and sometimes I think to myself when I'm playing, I'm like, man, this is, you know, this is good, and I want to bowl them over. I want to knock them dead and that's kind of the mentality that the whole band has, especially Dom, man, my leader, my boss, and one of my best friends. He's great to work for. Great, great leader of the band, man. He eats, drinks, and sleeps 38, man. He's all about it.
That's cool.
His baby. And Donnie Van Zandt's still involved on the side. He had to retire 15, 16 years ago due to severe injuries, but he's still an active member behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah. So speaking of hearing loss, I wanted to ask you, because you don't say "huh" a lot.
Right there, you baby.
Don't. Okay.
Besides,
you do have some hearing loss.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was going to ask you how you take care of your ears.
Well, the best thing we do now, we've been doing it for about 15 or more years, longer than that, maybe. Now we're all in-ear monitors. You know, there's no amps, no side fills, monitors on stage. We bring our own monitor desk everywhere we go, our own lighting desk, and our own front house. So our monitor desk is consistent almost all the time. And of course, because there's no amps or speakers up there, everything is locked. My drum box, I have a speaker, and the bass player has a rig back behind the scrims. But other than that, there's no stage volume that the front of house guy has to fight with. So our volume, our mix out front is always consistent, and it always sounds big and fat and powerful. Mm-hmm. And everybody has their own personal mix, which, you know, is big, fat, and powerful, however they want to hear it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, that saves your ears, because you don't have to have everything railing all the time.
Right. So just for the people that don't understand what that means, you know, you said, everybody has their own mix. Could you explain what that is?
Well, everybody has their own individual mix. Like for me, all the drums, starting with the drums, all my drums are panned left to right, just as I would hear them, you know, normally. I hear everything, you know, left to right, guitar, keyboards on my left, guitar vocals on the right, and bass vocals on the right. And I choose what kind of volume I want to have. If it's too ratty or tinny, you know, beef it up, open it up for me, give me a little more mid range. If I want a little reverb on something, you know, all that stuff, you know.
So you get to hear it the way that's going to allow you to play the best.
Exactly. My own personal mix.
That is,
and that's what everybody has.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Like I said, it saves your hearing. You know, because you're not having all this loud shit you're combating. You know, everybody's trying to get a little bit louder to hear themselves. You know, and it's a constant battle war.
Yeah, it's this.
It's those damn guitar players.
Well, you know, it's funny to say that. I've got a little hearing loss in my left ear because my amp is always right there, but mine's not terrible. You've always been what I call a whole body drummer. Everything in your physical being comes through those sticks right into the drums. How do you stay in shape to do that? So is it, you know, perpetuate itself by just doing it?
Partly, and well, for years I worked out a lot. I've kind of backed off a little bit in my older years now. I'm 68 now. Got more lazy.
Oh my God, you're a child.
And procrastinating. I've become the king of procrastination living at the beach over here, you know, the beach life. But it's just kind of muscle memory. And there's places, one of the things about our show is that there's places, there's little peaks and valleys and dynamics, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's places where I can look like I'm playing harder than what I am, you know, but I'm not really bashing, you know. I'm not a basher, but I can play pretty hard, you know. But I also like to have finesse and space and dynamics in there too, and nice, good grooves. So, you know, you're not going to play the same during in a verse as you would be during a guitar solo, as, you know, when you're opening up a little more. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, there's places, there's little, it's like being a long distance runner. There's places where you can kind of, you know, you pace yourself, you know. Yeah. But by the end of the set, man, I'm like, ugh.
Do you think it's important to have a formal music education of some sort?
I think it helps. Because a lot of guys I know that are real talented players, I mean, of course, there's always exceptions to the rules. The guys that don't know how to read that turn into monsters. But most of the time, these guys just hit a glass ceiling. You know, they can't get past it mathematically wise, ambidextry wise. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just kind of a, you know, they might be able to groove and hit them hard, but they're limited in their chops because they never learned like the rudiments. You know, rudiments, you learn them right-handed, then you learn them left-handed. And you play them, you start off real slow, and you get them as fast as you can. And that's like learning scales and modes and stuff on other instruments. You know, you learn how to solo through that stuff. Whereas if you don't have that technical knowledge, you know, of the mathematics and the notes and how they work, to me, I think you're limited. So I think it helps a lot, yeah.
I never thought you looked dumb. I mean, just odd, you know. Would you talk about 38 Special for a minute? I mean, tell me what it's like, you know, what you love about the band. Is it, you know, you kind of mentioned it's sort of like a family to you.
It really is, man. We've, through the years, they've had some personnel changes, crew-wise, and one band member a few years ago. But we've got such a well-oiled, fine-tuned machine now, and the camaraderie is just, it couldn't be better. It's just, everybody's on the same page. Everybody's got the same work ethic. The crew guys, they're like, they've got everything down, and they all wear different hats, you know, and they just intermingle and get their shit done. They know exactly what they're doing. They're so professional, and they're all great guys. They're funny, smart, intelligent. The band members are the same way, except for me. But it couldn't be better at this point in my life in my career with these guys. It's I look forward to seeing them all. I look forward to being on stage with them and having a good time. Well, on days off, we get together. There's four of us that eat lunch together almost every single day on the road.
Wow, nice.
And it's just. Yeah, it's we got a great tour manager, and he's been with Winona Judd, and he's been a major asset as far as just making everything so smooth and conducive to everybody's schedule, getting everybody there at the same time, you know. And I'm very happy with the way things are. I'm very, very blessed, I guess, is the word. I hate to say that because everybody says that.
You know, you know as well as I do that the hardest part, one of the hardest parts of playing music, especially for a career or living, is all the drama, you know, all the band drama. You know, yeah. And it's so nice to hear that you're in a band that actually, you said it, we eat lunch together every day because we actually like each other.
Yeah, get all the cancerous assholes out of the band, you know, that's behind people's back and trying to be manipulative and have their own agenda and this and that. It's like, no, you got to be a team player, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to, you know, eat crow, and other times you're not going to be happy all the time, but for the most part, it's great.
Just a few more things I have for you, but one of them is there a season for touring? I mean, is there a time of year that you're touring, time of year you're usually off?
Yeah, it starts kicking in now, and then it'll really kick in during the summer, you know, June, July, August, September, we're doing all kinds of festivals, you know, river fests, races, NASCAR stuff, street parties, you know, barbecue fests. And they're all huge events. I mean, if you were telling me I'd plan a barbecue fest, I'm like, oh, great. You know, but it's like, no, it's great. It's awesome. Huge production, just like, you know, anywhere, you know, 20,000 people out there.
You get a solo every night.
Yep.
Is that something that you worked out, or is it something like, do you have a framework for it, or you just go?
I pretty much play the same and have played the same solo for quite a while. It's kind of like, what works and stay with that, you know. Mm-hmm. Plus, like I said, I don't practice anymore. Yeah. I have a structure, a basic outline of certain things, you know. Mm-hmm. But I try to just do little bits and pieces of each one of those things. But yeah, they follow a basic order, you know, and it all makes sense. You know, at the end of the solo, you know, the crowds, I've worked them into a froth, you know. And it's part of the lights and the sound too. I mean, those guys and the light show that Noah does for my drum solo just enhances the heck out of it, man. It's just like, that just makes it even more powerful.
You ready for just a little quick rapid fire?
Sure.
Who's the greatest drummer of all time?
I would probably say Buddy Rich. I was a Billy Cobham freak for a long time. Remember that?
I remember that, absolutely.
He influenced me big time. But, I mean, I have to say overall, mm-hmm. I mean, Buddy Rich was the shit. I mean, he made everybody, you know, notice the drums.
Being on the road all the time can be tough. What's your least favorite thing?
When I have to wake up at 4 in the morning for a 6 a.m. flight. After playing that night and getting back to the hotel at midnight, you know.
And your most favorite thing?
Getting home, coming home.
Nice.
Or having a day off where we have a big dinner where everybody gets together and you know, have a Club 38 dinner, a big Roman feast.
I love that. Yeah. Last one is the one place you'd really love to play that you haven't.
Well, a big feather in your cap would be Madison Square Gardens. Sold out.
Okay, and here's the last question. And you sort of answered it before, but it, you know, you could be more specific if you wanted. What's the best advice that you'd have for a drummer that is starting out that does want to do that for a career?
Practice. I mean, you got to practice a lot if you want to be good, and you got to know what you're practicing. Like I said, I would initiate rudiments, ambidexterity, which rudiments really cater to. Listen to all different kinds of music, mm-hmm. get all different kinds of influences. Don't get stuck in one vein, because that's one of the things I think that helped me with my career is that I have so many influence. I'm really a rock drummer at heart, but I'm so influenced from Latin and funk and fusion music, you know, so that's the stuff I try to intermingle, all that, you know, bouncy kind of funky stuff in a straight groove, you know, when I have, you know, like I said earlier, be prepared, well rehearsed, be able to be disappointed, but when you feel that moment with the band, mm-hmm. and you know that you're actually playing with the band for the first time, that feeling is what you always strive to feel, you know? Mm. And if you get accolades on top of that, that even enhances it even more, you know? So possibly down the road, you might get rewarded and get an opportunity to step in with somebody, one of the big boys, you know.
Sid, I love you, brother. We'll talk again, and thank you one more time.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you inviting me to do this. This was fun. It was great talking to you, great seeing you.
Thank you for joining me today for another episode of Gig with Mike Redman. If you like what you heard, I'd ask that you subscribe and like us. And finally, if you have questions about a job or ideas for an episode, contact me at gigwithmikeredman@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Mike Redman, signing off.